Again, good morning and happy Sabbath. I had to consult with my elder whether or not I should do this, and he said, yes, do it. So I'm not going to sing, but Psalm 515, I would like to read it for you. Singing would be, for me to sing it, would not be appropriate. The Lord is my light, then why should I fear? By day and by night, his presence is near. He is my salvation from sorrow and sin. This blessed persuasion the Spirit brings in. The Lord is my light. Though clouds may arise, faith stronger than sight looks up to the skies, where Jesus forever in glory doth reign. Then how can I ever in darkness remain? The Lord is my light. The Lord is my strength. I know in his might I'll conquer at length. My weakness in mercy he covers with power. And walking by faith, he upholds me each hour. The Lord is my light. My all and in all, there is in his sight no darkness at all. He is my redeemer, my savior, and king. With saints and with angels, his praises I send to you. My topic for this morning, as you may know, is follow the light. When I was a child, I was first church, the sanctified church. My aunt was a sanctified holiness. And we loved going to that church because we loved singing, which I didn't do, but I loved that shouting. And we would shout and shout. But then my father was a Methodist. And we attended Wesley Methodist Church. When I got up in age, I followed my friends to the Baptist Church, where I was baptized at the age of 12 years old. And then as I wandered through high school, I went into the house of prayer. And then finally, through marriage and children in 1980, I finally came back into the church, Baptist Church, where God sent three white men into this church to give Bible studies. So, after 32 years, I am the only product of that Bible study. After baptism in this church, people befriended me of different denominations. Mormons, had a friend, Pentecostal Holiness, Church of Christ, Jehovah's Witness. And when he told me, all these people came to me, and I even had studies with Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons and several others, but Jesus came to me and told me, follow the light, not the vessel. So this morning, I want to bring to you, follow the light. In John 1:1-13, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things was made through him, and without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in all the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you this day to talk about the light that you've given us. For this, we give you all the honor and the glory. Because of this day, if it was not for the light that you sent to us, and it's not for you giving us the strength to bear, we would perish. So, Father God, we lift up your light this day, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would come in our midst and to open our hearts and to let that light that dwells with you to be within us. And in Jesus' name, we pray. Okay, now you need to really put your seatbelts on, because we are going to jet through time from creations to the New Jerusalem. And you say, oh, you only got 30 minutes, but God has eternity. On the first day of creation, God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 1, 3, and 4, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. In Psalms, David identifies the light. Psalms 104 and 1 through 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God. You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who covers yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. In Genesis 1:27, God says so. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. This means that Adam and Eve was also covered with light as with a garment. This is why they didn't know that they were naked. In Genesis 3:7, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden, because their light that covered them were gone, and they were afraid in their nakedness. God's love for mankind is illustrated by his love for us by giving his only begotten Son to die for our sins, the sins of mankind. This love made the early Christians a very peculiar kind of people who were hated by the wicked. Even back to Cain and Abel, when God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's, or when the Jews rejected the holiness and the purity of the character of Christ, the light he brought unto his people was so powerful that they crucified him. Christ's constant rebuke of their selfishness and corruption from the days of old until now, God's people, his faithful disciples, have excited hatred and opposition from those who love sin and follow the ways of the prince of darkness. It is because of this hatred and strife that the gospel is called a sword. Jesus told them in John 15:20, "The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Jesus is the light. When he started his ministry, he bids his disciples to follow me. After Jesus' death and resurrection, he told his disciples to stay together and that he would send the Comforter. When Jesus sent the Comforter and the Holy Spirit descended upon them as a ball of light on that day of Pentecost, this ushered in the light that spread it throughout the kingdom of civilization. Towards the end of the first century, Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. And in 93, Domitian, the emperor of Rome, continued to persecute Christians, rejecting God's light. During this time, the apostle John completed his books and wrote the book of Revelation. The beginning of the Dark Ages was marked by the rise of the Roman Church to power. This was called the Dark Ages because faith was transferred from Christ, the light, and the foundation of the world to the Pope of Rome. In 195, Victor I, the Bishop of Pope of Rome, demanded that other Christian churches obey him and keep the newly started spring resurrection of Christ Memorial on Sunday. Polycrates, in reference to the great controversy, said that a great multitude of church leaders protested Victor's demands. During the third century, year 300, several things happened. Christian missionaries continued to bring pure Bible truth to Britain. Prayers for the dead entered the Christian church at Alexandria, and the Christians at Alexandria began making the sign of the cross from bottom to top. The early reformers, the Waldensians, John Wycliffe, John and Jerome Huss, kept the light alive through their work and their death. Let us fast forward through time of more changes and manipulations that mankind did to God's law into the 16th century, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to Wittenberg church door, starting the Great Reformation and establishing the Lutheran church. People began to listen to him. People began to read the Bible, which was first printed in 1453 by Johann Gutenberg. The Bible and the Bible only. The just shall live by faith, were proclaimed. In Acts 3:19, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord," were proclaimed throughout Christendom. In future years, many wars and riots followed as the Roman Church continued its advances against God's people. John Knox led Calvinist Reformation in Scotland and became a powerful preacher. He established a Presbyterian church. God wonderfully blessed all those churches because they were brought up by the Bible and the Bible only. And the just shall live by faith. But the trouble was that God had more light to bring to the world. God brought up another people, the Baptists. They believed like the others, but they emphasized baptism by immersion. In the 16th century and onward, Ferdinand Magellan sailed around the world and enabled the first evangelistic work in France, which also brought on the 30-year war, which millions of Presbyterians died as the church attempted to rid Europe of them. In 1620, the Baptists were so persecuted that they later were called pilgrims. They sailed from England to where? America, here, in the Mayflower, seeking religious freedom. God had to raise up two boys, John and Charles Wesley, where the great Methodist revival took place in England. Their father was an itinerant preacher. He would only come home once a year, but he had 19 or 20 children. In his Bible studies, he was very methodical. Everything he did was methodical. That's why they named him a Methodist. The Anglican Church put out 323 tracts against John Wesley in the first 6 weeks he began to preach, because the truth has always been opposed. They would say, "Don't belong to that queer sector, the Methodists." But God had truth in John Wesley. He began to preach and stirred up the social souls of England. Outstanding individuals a Methodist are all outstanding, and they have no shame, for God had more light to bring into the world. Next, a layman. He was a Baptist, William Miller. You all may be familiar with him. He was convinced that Jesus is coming soon. The other forefathers did not teach that, so they kicked him out. It was not God's will, and he gave us new truth. He wanted us to grow in Christ and to follow the light. But they would not believe him. They developed a creed around themselves that said, "This is what we believe, nothing more and nothing less." Instead of accepting, they withdrew and drew back. The Adventist people, as wonderful as they were, they still went to church on Sunday. They all believe in the immortality of the soul. God had to weed out the last major errors of the church. In the time, he drew up another people they called Seventh-day Adventists. They believed as the Lutheran and the Presbyterian, the Bible and the Bible only. And the just shall live by faith. They believe the Baptist and the baptism by immersion and Methodist and methodical Bible studies. They believe like the Adventists, the soon returning of Jesus and the study of prophecy in Daniel and Revelations. But they went one step further. What do you think that they were emphasizing? The great teaching of the commandments of God. and the simple teachings of Jesus. And you know what the Anglican said, and they still say, get out! The Lutheran says, get out! The Baptist says, get out! The Methodist says, get out! Every church wanted to stay back where their reformers left them. They would not follow the light. They did not want to accept any new light because they believed that they were God's true light, a true church. These reformers understood all truth for the hour in which they lived. They were good men. They were spiritual men. They studied their Bibles, but God had special light for the last days, and this is God's intention, that this light go throughout the world to everyone. As soon as we get back to the same teaching on that the original church was established, it is interesting that a message goes to the whole world in Revelation 14 that begins at verse 6 and goes through 12. Can you see we are back to the original platform, back in the same place where we started? All through history, mankind has fought for religious freedom, for the light of God to shine around the world. It states in Revelation 14, verse 6, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment is sin forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and who ever receives the mark of his name. But here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The harvest takes place. God's last message goes out to the world. God will lay us aside and raise up someone else. It's his truth. Accept it and follow it. God's message preached to every kindred and tongue and nation is happening now. It is going around the world. This message is to be preached everywhere. God's message is rising up people to preach, and it is as important as when Noah preached in his day. But you know what happened there. The people never accepted what Noah said. Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, died on the cross for our sins. By accepting him as our Savior, we are baptized and cleansed from all unrighteousness. The water, the cleaning, and the restoration or rebirth that we can follow the light. The loaves of showbread, 12 cakes, that represents the 12 characters of the apostles, 12 apostles. All this represents the studying of God's word. The altar of incense, prayers going up to heaven to God from his people. The candlestick, his people, is represented here and throughout the ages by the different churches. In church, we are known as Laodiceans, lukewarm. We're going to have to assume another title here because lukewarmness is not, get it. You know what God says he would do by lukewarm? He would do what? Spew us out of his mouth. We need to let our light shine so brightly that we become on fire for God, which may also take on a literal meaning. Then we have the most holy place, the ark that housed the law of God, the Ten Commandments, the mercy seat of God, and the covering cherubs. This model of the sanctuary is what we, Seventh-day Adventists, brought to the table of truth over 100 years ago with the Methodists, the Baptists, all the various denominations, according to the Great Controversy. With this new light and the light of the other reformers, the stage is set for Christ's return. In the Dark Ages and the Reformation started developing, God gave his people new light. Light that shines through the darkness into his glorious light. In heaven, we will need no sun. Revelation 21, 23, 26 states, the city had no need of sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved walked in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at night, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Let me see a show of hands of those of you who want to dwell in this city, where only the light from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, shines in it. Thank you for raising your hand. Thank you. We have work to do, church. We cannot just sit here and keep the pews warm. We must rally to the call and go out into the world and spread the everlasting gospel. In 2 Corinthians 4, 1-6, in closing, therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1-6. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness for handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of our God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus Christ. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, you say, whoever that has an ear, let them hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Our hearts are lifted up to you this day. You know each and every one of us that hears the sound of my voice. May the Holy Spirit take our utterances and place them within our hearts and minds the way you would have each and every one of us to go according to the gifts that you've given us. Give us your leading, guide, and direction to follow your life, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name who we pray this day. Amen.